Thank you, Wendy, and good morning, everyone. My name's Anton, and I'm on the ministry team here. Welcome from me to our Good Friday service. Well, of course, for Christians, we have two particularly special days over this long weekend, Good Friday and Easter Sunday. And the two are quite different days. As you look on the outside, it seems like Good Friday is kind of the non-commercialized holiday or holiday day. It hasn't been overcome by bunnies and eggs and chicks like Easter Sunday has. But in terms of, you know, commercialization, what has it got going for it? The best it can do is hot cross buns. And now, my family have been eating them since January, as you do. But hot cross buns are kind of the only tangible thing to buy and for Good Friday. And it makes Good Friday kind of a bit more nice, a bit more rustic, a bit more authentic. It's, you know, even one of the days where most of the shops are closed. Because when you think about it, it's a hard day to come up with a marketing campaign, especially when the key symbol for the day is the cross. When you have an instrument of execution as kind of the key symbol of the day, when you have one of the most shameful ways to be put to death front and center, then what sort of a day do we have? The cross is a symbol of Good Friday. And so while there are plenty of ways to celebrate Easter Sunday, and in a couple of days here, we will celebrate Easter Sunday. We'll get rid of the mood lighting and we'll celebrate what has happened to Jesus. But Good Friday is much more of a solemn day. We've had read for us one of the original accounts of Jesus dying on the cross. We've sung of the story as well. It's a very somber story, isn't it? Jesus being led to his place of execution, with his cross being carried behind him. Then him being crucified on the cross between two criminals, all the time being taunted by people as he hung there. And then he died. So my question for today is, why the cross? Why the cross? Why have we all gathered together this morning in honour of Jesus dying on the cross? Why the cross? Well, there's a political answer to that question. I don't know if you've come across the history podcast, The Rest is History. Two British historians chatting away, lots of good banter. They talk through all different types of historical events, like the fall of the Aztecs to the rise of the Nazis. And they did an episode on the history of crucifixion. And they confirmed that crucifixion was a Roman Empire practice. They did crucify people. But in a strange way, they were almost ashamed of it. The most reliable historical sources for crucifixion are actually the four gospel narratives in the Bible. The Romans didn't write about it because they saw it as a shameful way of putting people to death. But they still did it. But they didn't do it for your average run-of-the-mill crimes like theft or even murder. They used it for one particular crime. Anyone want to have a guess what that crime was? Or someone said of it, treason. Treason was the crime that was worthy of punishment by crucifixion. Partly as a final act of shame, and also as a deterrent to others. But what of Jesus? What of Jesus? Why the cross for Jesus? Well, did you hear what was written on the note above the cross in that account? These notes were written so that everyone could see what that person had done wrong. Well, here's what it read. It says in the Bible, there was a written notice above him, and it read, "This is the King of the Jews." Now, the key word there is king. Jesus claimed to be a king, but of course only Caesar was meant to be king. And so we have a political reason why Jesus died on the cross. But in another sense, we're dealing with the Son of God here. We're looking at God's unfolding plan through history. And so there's not merely a political dimension, but there's a spiritual dimension as well. There's a spiritual answer to why the cross. Why would the God of the universe send his beloved Son to die on a cross? Well, God explains himself. He explains why the cross. He gives us an answer. And one place he gives us an answer is much earlier in the Bible. It was the second reading from the book of Isaiah. And in that passage, it describes the coming of a servant of God. But this servant wasn't coming in honor and glory. Let me read again this description of him. It says, "He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain, like one from whom people hide their faces. He was despised, and we held him in low esteem." What a description of the servant of God. God's chosen one described like this. What suffering and hardship this servant goes through in life. And then it goes on to say, I'll put this one up here. He says this servant was pierced. He was crushed. The punishment was on him. And he is wounded. And we see the picture filling out here. This is a description of someone crucified. And it describes Jesus. Jesus on the cross. But it does more than just describe him. It gives us an answer for why the cross. Let me fill out the rest of this verse. It says, "He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed." The answer to why the cross is us. It says he was pierced for our transgressions, all the times we've stepped over the boundary of God's good way of living. It said he was crushed for our iniquities, all the impurity within us. And the punishment that we deserve was on him. And so it brings us peace. Peace with God. From being estranged to God to being friends once more. And by his wounds we are healed. Jesus' death on the cross was for you and me. Jesus' death was to pay for our transgressions and our iniquities. What that means is the cross says there's something dark within us, so dark. We've rebelled against God so badly that the only way that things can be atoned for is through God himself, God the Son, dying on a cross. The cross is the way of peace with God. The next verse puts it like this. "We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us have turned to our own way." Have you been to the Easter show yet this year? Some have. You see the sheep, if they're in the pen, you can't see this, but if they're in the arena and they're running around, you see sheep don't naturally follow the instructions of the shepherd. They just go off and do their own thing, go their own way. They need a trio of sheepdogs to round them up. Well, like sheep, we have gone against the shepherd's instructions. We've ignored God. We've not listened to God. We want to live life our own way. well, why is that so bad anyway? I want to live life my own way. I want to live life how I want to live. What's wrong with that? Well, what's wrong with that is our way is to reject the God who made us. Our way is to ignore the God who loves us. And living life my way means I'm not living life in a way that's good for you necessarily, or good for you, or good for God, just for my good. We've all gone astray. But the verse goes on. The Lord has laid on him, on this servant on the cross, the iniquity of us all. And so God is saying, instead of holding all our iniquity against us, I'll lay it on Jesus at the cross. God is saying, instead of rejecting you like you've rejected me, I will accept you and I will love you. And instead I'll reject Jesus on the cross. So why the cross? The cross is showing God's love for you. It's saying God wants to have a relationship with you. God sent Jesus to die on the cross. In it, he condemned Jesus so that we don't have to be condemned. And so the Bible later on says, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. I don't know what you've done in your past, if you're carrying any guilt. But because Jesus has died on the cross, God can wipe the slate clean in your heart. Oh, I don't know what you're going through right now. As a church family, we're mourning the loss of one of our own, Elaine Stewart, who died this week. Whatever you're going through, God is saying on the cross, I love you. I have suffered for you so that you can know me and know my comfort. If you trust Jesus, God's not going to condemn you. He's dealt with your transgressions and iniquity on the cross. If you trust Jesus, you have peace with God. And when you look to the cross, you can see what Jesus has done for you to bring you peace with him. There's a story of a young man who was really angry with God. And so he decided one night to break into a church, break into his church and vandalize it. So he broke in and started knocking over the candles and turning over the furniture and messing it all up. And the priest happened to be there. And so he came in. And the young man thought, oh, okay, I'm in for it now. And the priest went up to him and he said, what I want you to do is go out of the church, turn around, point at the top of the building and say these words. I know what you did for me and I don't care. If you do that, then you're free to go. Well, the young man thought, oh, I'm getting off. This will be fine. And so he walked out of the church. He turned around. He pointed to the top of the church. And on the top of this church, on that church, was a cross. And he said, I know what you did for me, and I... He couldn't finish the sentence. He remembered what God had done for him. He remembered how Jesus had died for him. When you look at the cross, you can say to Jesus, I know what you did for me. And, well, over to you, how you'd finish the sentence. Today, we'd love to give you a gift on your way home. On the back table, there are a bunch of handmade crosses. We'd love you to take one. We'd love you to have one. Please grab one on your way out. Take it as our gift. And take it as a reminder of what Jesus did for you. Look at it and go, I know what you did for me. It's a simple symbol. Has such significance. And you can say, I know what you did for me, Jesus. And now, I know how much you've forgiven me. I know how much you love me. By his wounds, we are healed.